Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and good afternoon to some, good morning to others. This is Dr. Nate Dunlap hosting your PRF table. We're on our second quarter of 2019, where we're still focusing on financial empowerment plus 2019. And today we have returning guest Nelson Baldwin out of Alpharetta, Georgia. And we're going to be talking to you a little bit about what do we need to do to help leaders become financially empowered? What do we need to do to help leaders become financially empowered? And so with that, we just say welcome, Brother Baldwin, to the show. And how are you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing excellent, man. Feeling good, doing good. Got my workout in, so I'm ready.
You ready? Well, listen, let's get into it. So for those of you who are listening, if you want to jump into this conversation, jump into this dialogue, all we ask is that you're listening by telephone. Just press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll see you light up on the switchboard. If you're listening to us on our website, prfinstitute.org, just go to our Facebook page, and you can post some comments there. We see them. We'll go ahead and read them and discuss them on the air. And the number to call in is 347-215-7934. Again, 347-215-7934. All right, so let's get it. Brother Baldwin, Nelson, listen. You and I both know that there is room for so many of our leaders, particularly religious leaders. And if we say it like this, we can even narrow it down to pastors and those who are leading within our religious organizations. But they are not as empowered or doing as well as we, you and I, both know they could be. So let's talk about what are some things that a leader could or even should be doing to be financially empowered. And the reason I ask that question is, you know, how can you expect the people to do anything more than what you're not willing to do for yourself?
Wow. Yes. Yeah, that's a good question right there. And a lot of times, man, I'll tell you, being in leadership position inside and outside of the church, in my past, I was part of leadership of a church for, well, I was part of the church for 18 years, but in leadership for probably about eight to 10 of the last 18 years. And sometimes, man, you have to lead. You have to lead, number one, and you may not have it all together. You may not think your leadership is working, and a lot of times it's because, and I'll speak just personally for myself, a lot of times it was because I was not pursuing or understanding what God was actually calling me to do. Like a lot of times we have leaders in position because of need rather than calling, and sometimes we're doing stuff and God hadn't called us to do that, or we haven't got the gift to do that, but we still must lead. So in that instance, what I did was, me personally, I called on, you know, I started reading scripture and called on God to kind of download for me, if this is not where I'm supposed to be, help me find the person that it is for. And either I can hand that off or they can guide me and mentor me in this area. But we got a lot of leaders leading that don't know the calling.
Okay. So this is one of the moments where we just hitting it. This is how it was last time we was on the air. It's amazing because we, as I mentioned before the show, we teach a lesson in our stewardship practical principle course. One of the five lessons that we offer is called Stewardship Maintenance for Leaders. And we just started teaching this to a ministry school last year. And it's amazing because the one who leads the school, who God gave the vision to for this ministry school, just in our conversations and me knowing them, you know, outside of that, the light bulb went off. They said, you know, they said, Doc Dunlap, you went to two seminaries, and this is not what they teach you in seminary. I'm like, nah, this ain't what they. I said, this is stuff that God has given me because of, you know, what I do in PRF. And he's like, they don't teach that in seminary. I'm like, nah, they're not teaching this stuff in seminary. And so he's like, listen, can you come and and just share a little bit with, you know, with my ministry school, with, and it's like 30 people, and it's a year long program. It's called the Pioneer Network, and it's in Opelika, Alabama. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll come in and share. But then it became a thing of coming frequently, right? And I was like, these people, future leaders, are really ready to learn how to lead, not just from the learn how to give a good sermon, not just from learning how to pray, but this area of stewardship, man, I can tell you, if individuals don't have the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding in this area, it's going to be a rough road. And I could tell you, even doing what I'm doing with PRF, there's still some things that I didn't know. So I the conversation I had with another person that I respect, I was sharing to him a little bit from the course, and I was telling him that we need a baseline. We need a baseline when it comes to financial stewardship, especially as leaders, because everybody has their own interpretation of the way a leader should be. And we look at certain leaders and I see your pastor doing well. Your pastor may have retired three times at his 60-year-old self, and money ain't an issue. But my pastor working a full-time job and a part-time job and leading the church. So money is not just flowing like milk and honey. And so for the baseline, let's think about this. In Exodus 18, we had the story of Moses and how Jethro saw Moses, and he saw how Moses was dealing with the problems of the people. And he saw, he said, look, what you're doing to the people is not good for you nor them. Moses was saying, was thinking that what he was doing for the people. He was helping them out because their cases that they were bringing to them, their disputes and their issues and life challenges, that as long as I keep answering, and it's all going to be good. But the truth of the matter is Moses didn't have the time nor the capacity to deal with everybody's stuff. So for you to say, listen, you realize that you weren't equipped or may not have been equipped or may not have had the gift, you had to call on somebody else. And so I think that's the one of the greatest signs of a leader is realizing that I can't deal with this. Or maybe God doesn't want me to deal with this. And let me find out from God, who do I need to shoot it to? So let me ask you this. When it comes to the finances, when it comes to managing money, what's your thoughts on pastors and religious leaders saying, listen, this ain't my area. Like, I ain't got no business trying to teach people nothing about insurance. I know I'm the one that's over Bible study as the pastor. I know I'm the one in the pulpit 50 out of 52 weeks a year, but this is not something that I really need to be doing. Or my credit is messed up, so I really don't need to be talking to nobody about credit. What's your thoughts on getting somebody else to doggone do it in this particular area, and what's some ways that we could try to do it? Because everybody act like they don't have time, which is a bunch of crap to me. Everybody act like they don't have time. No, you make time for what you think is important. You know what I'm saying? So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are the same as yours. And like I said, my experience with that has been, you know, our pastor has a responsibility to teach us what the Bible says about finances. I think that he, being the person and the scholar and studier that he is, he's able to articulate what God says about finances based on scripture. Having said that, our pastor is also humble enough to understand that he's not a financial guru, and that's not his expertise. So he has, in a lot of cases, they did it in the form of a business summit where he brought in financial advisors, estate planners, insurance agents, and had a panel of people to kind of ask, and we took questions and stuff like that. But then he encouraged the congregation, you know, go see these people, you know, go and sit down with these people. They offered, you know, a free first-time free financial look or whatever the case was. But he understood that he has a responsibility to say what God says, but also that we have a responsibility to send people to the expertise and the experts in that area so that they can get a full picture and not just a religious or spiritual picture, but also a practical and financial picture. So that's what he helped us do. And most people don't do that, though.
And that's part of the reason why we have this conversation is because I know firsthand that a lot of pastors do not do that. And I know also that to be even more transparent, a lot of pastors don't even have the ability to tell you what God says about finances.
That's a whole nother PR subject, right?
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. I don't want people listening to believe that that's a bad thing. You can't do anything with what you don't possess. So if God hasn't revealed to you as pastor certain things regarding credit, then you just don't have it, and it's okay. My thing is, just because God has not given it to you as a pastor doesn't mean that people are not dealing with it as the congregant.
Right.
And we also
had a basic course. We had you've heard of Dave Ramsey, I'm assuming. A lot of people have heard of Dave Ramsey. We used to provide Dave Ramsey's course to the congregation and all of that. And for those that sign up or wanted to sign up that didn't have the $99 or $100, we had people that scholarship folks to do that. I would say that started the ball rolling, but over time, that wasn't enough because once Dave Ramsey stopped or that course stopped, people went right back to their old habits. So we developed an accountability was 6 months, 9 months, or a year after the Dave Ramsey course, depending on your situation, so that we can keep people in that mold because changing habits, as you know, it's a long-term thing. It's not just, you do a one course and all of a sudden you got it. So I believe if people get into anything you do, if you don't do it consistently, you're going to end up losing it anyway. So we got to be consistent as leaders in help, not only getting the help for the people that we're leading, but also getting the help ourselves. Because like you said, you can't teach what you don't know. And you can't, I can't in my right consciousness try to hold somebody to a standard that I haven't even been to yet. So, and that's where hypocrisy comes from anyway. So we don't want to do that.
and that's one of the things that, I mean, you know this, but for those who may not know, that's one of the greatest things that we've incorporated into PRF, and it's been like this for the beginning, is the accountability piece. You know, it's funny because I was having a conversation with the leader yesterday, a very influential leader yesterday, and we'll be going into their space during the summer. And we've talked before, but, now we're just at that point of implementation. And the leader asked me, the leader just, like you mentioned, they've used Dave Ramsey's financial piece. I have nothing negative to say about that program because it works for some and it works for who it works for, right? And they've had success at what they bring to the table. So we praise God for who has helped. But they are very big on Dave Ramsey's financial piece. And it's funny because we've talked several times and from the beginning it was, hey, this is what we want to do. You got a good group of individuals that we could offer this to. And it was funny, Nelson, because they said, would you be interested in being certified to be a facilitator of financial peace? And I was like, okay, where are we not communicating right now? Like, what have we not been talking about? And so it let me know that you really don't understand PRF because this is we're on a whole different level. We're doing something very different than what financial peace is using. And so, as you mentioned, it doesn't have the accountability piece in it. I can say that because I know enough about it and I've done enough homework and I had enough people that I've talked to that have gone through it. So it doesn't have that long range. But from the beginning, that's what we focused on. Listen, and I said this like I say it like this. Every church needs to have PRF or something like PRF inside of it as ministry. How do you not have a financial-based teaching ministry in your church where it's ongoing, knowing that these are the same ongoing issues that churches have all over the country?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree because the church's prosperity, the prosperity of the church is the makeup of the family. And if the family is not at a place where they can at least pay their bills and give on top of that, then you're going to have an issue where you know, prosperity is concerned. Now, we can talk about prosperity from a biblical standpoint, but if you don't put the practical, everyday saving, budgeting, all that stuff that people don't want to talk about and do, you don't put that in place and start putting it in the hearts of the people, then there's no habits built. And where a lot of our ethnic counterparts, they ingrain that stuff in their social aspects of their children, their friends, their family, all they talk about is wealth. So that's all they know. Mm-hmm. If we all talk about trying to give out of what's left over, then you're going to have a weak church when it comes to finance.
That's right. One of the things that going back to Exodus 18, is those issues that the people were bringing to Moses, when he followed the wisdom of Jethro, and he appointed those over 1,150 and 10. When he did that, when he put that action, that was the practical piece. Because that word, that wisdom that Jethro gave to him would have been nothing but a word unless he said, let me go ahead and do something with it. And so I think and believe that one of the critical pieces for empowering leaders is to give people some type of goal that they can actually meet. Because truth of the matter, we can go and, you know, and we do legacy conferences, we can do conferences and seminars and all of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And we can give people so much information, but if you don't take that piece that is necessary for you, so we're talking about credit, we're talking about wills, we're talking about insurance, all those may not have anything to do with you. You may be good in all those areas, but you don't plan and save well at all. So getting to that person that deals with the plan and saving, that's what you got to focus on. And a lot of times, because so many people are going through so many different things, it seems like it's hard to get people in all those different areas to deal with everything all at one time, especially the people. So my thing is, if you have something that's ongoing within your church as a leader, then the people will bring those things to the forefront. And that's going to give you an understanding as a leader, maybe since three people the last time we did this came up to me, maybe there's about six out there altogether. There's three more people that didn't even come. So if we put it out there and we give people the opportunity, like you said your pastor has done, man, can you just imagine how much more effective and efficient, and I'm speaking specifically of the church could actually be in so many places. God.
Oh, yeah, it would be a definite – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. I want people to get it, that's all.
Gotcha. Man, listen, you talk about being effective for the kingdom. What better example of being effective than having a healthy church in all areas of their life, not just spiritual? And, man, you said something earlier, man, I am so – and I hate to say it this way, but take it in the spirit that is given. I am so sick of information. We got too much information because everybody's talking about what's next and what's to do and we know what to do. Everybody knows what to do. Let's go back to just doing it, and let's take step number one and start with whatever you want to start with, and then once you get that, let's move to the next. We know what to do, man. It's just too much. We want to go to this conference and talk to that preacher. Then we want this financial, supposedly financial preacher to come in and get the people riled up so they can get motivated. And then they get all these statistics. And I've done it. That's why I'm so sick of it. Right. I've done it. I spit out statistics after statistics. I did it through the black community, the Jewish community. I did all of that just to sound impressive. And the bottom line is the people don't move. And they don't actually put a policy in place for insurance. They don't actually pull their credit to see what it looks like so they can see what they need to shore up on that side. If they don't actually put a budget in place, nothing's going to change.
That's right. And people have to believe that there is a need for these type of things that we're talking about. See, and I'm going to hit it. I know we got 9 minutes. So if a church leader, a religious leader, is not struggling financially, things look like they're good. Just wait until several members of the congregation die that were giving so much, and that money's not there anymore.
Oh my goodness!
True story. I mean, listen, y'all know me well enough by now that when I say stuff, I'm talking about real life stuff, not just scenarios. I'm just being confidential.
Oh, absolutely.
absolutely. You know what I'm saying? You know, that church that had to close its doors because they didn't have the income coming in anymore, when they could have put something in place to give $10,000 when somebody passed away, like other churches do. Could have done it, but let me tell you, because you mentioned the what's next, right? I think you saw it where my next book is coming out on May 29th, and it's called What's Next, Preparing for Eternity. And you know what's interesting is, you know, I wrote Don't Leave Me Like This, and that was really telling the story about three father figures in my life and, you know, talking about wills and insurance and legacy and advanced directives and DNRs and all that kind of stuff. But what God led me to do in this book was to actually put in here action steps, bro. See, in the first book, I was really just asking questions like, do you have this or what's going to happen? But on this one, oh, my goodness, there's no excuse. I'm giving you in this book a whole bunch of action steps at the end of the book, dealing with paying utilities, dealing with insurance policies, dealing with how to deal with the will, dealing with all these different things that we're going to have to deal with whenever our loved one passes away. Somebody's going to have to deal with it. But unless people get the action steps, and I think to a degree that there's a lot of people that just don't know. Like, I think people, when you mentioned, you know, we just know what to do, I think people have heard it, but I don't think they know. I don't think they know it from an intrinsic value perspective. Like, I know I should have insurance, but I get to it later. Well, you really don't know you're supposed to have insurance. You heard about it, but you really don't know because it ain't hit you yet. And you haven't dealt with it like Pharaoh, where it really hits you first and foremost. And you're like, you know what? Because how many people afterwards, I got to get insurance. Right. I finally went to a funeral, bro, 3 weeks ago, where the pastor said, I'm so glad sister such and such, she saw the need and she took care and got her insurance because she saw the need for it in advance. That's the first funeral I've ever been to.
Wow. That's the first funeral you've ever been to like that?
Yes, where a pastor ever said it out loud, because a lot of times, one, pastors don't say it out loud because folks don't have their stuff together, so of course they're not going to say anything like that. But the other part is, how about this? As he said that, here's what I would say, because, again, I ain't know him like that, but and it wasn't at my church, so I was there. Yeah, but here's what I would say. I wonder how many people in the congregation actually had their stuff together. in his congregation. But right. You can't just assume as a leader that just because mm-hmm. Sister Such and Such got her stuff together and you mentioned it from the pulpit that everybody else is going to. So another thing that I right. believe is so necessary is you got to do the assessments, leaders.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we do yeah. with PRF. We do assessments on everything before we go in because we need to know what is it? What is it? What is the
right.
area that you need help in, that the people need help in? Because you may call me in, Nelson, you may call me in to teach on you know, spirituality of lending and borrowing. And the people mm-hmm. don't show up and don't sign up because that ain't their issue. Some folks are like, you
right.
know what? If they said, if Pastor Nelson said, I'm having a, we're bringing somebody in to talk about tithing, man, you may get 70, 80 people to sign up for that. Because they may not, because they're not going to say out loud, they're confused.
Right. And you make a good point. Yeah, you definitely make a good point. Definitely when it comes to people know, I went on the rant about information, I believe we're in information mm-hmm. overload, and I do think that it's out there and that people have heard what to do. But personally, if someone in the family, if someone's family has more months at the end of their money, then they know that that's a problem. Now, how
right.
to get out of that problem, they may not necessarily know the action steps 1, 2, and 3 to get out, but they know that they need
yeah.
to get some help. So so you definitely make a good point there. Also, when it comes to taking those steps, as leaders, you mentioned assessments. We used to do assessments all the time just to kind of get a checkup, just to kind of see where people
mm-hmm.
are at. And you're right. Some people may intrinsically say, I don't need to. I'm good on savings. I don't necessarily need that part. But credit, you know, I do. So you may not hit everything with the guest speaker. So what you got to do
mm-hmm.
is, as a leader or as leaders, say, hey, let's take an assessment. And we used to do one every 3 months, or like every quarter we would do an
wow.
assessment just to find out where people's needs were at. And sometimes it ended up being some of the same stuff, because some folks, you know, some folks just ain't going to put on the thing what they're supposed to put on the thing. But you gotta understand that there's a whole congregation, and I hate to say it like this, but it's true, there's a whole congregation full of prideful people. And they may not admit it, but a lot of them, they either feel pride or they feel shame. And we got to get that
yeah.
out of our mindset, because when you talk about, you know, people may not know, there's a vast, I got all kinds of statistics on the U.S. of people that don't have insurance at all, and those that have some but not enough, and then those that actually have it. So there's some people that have no information as far as how insurance works and what it is and all that. So there's a segment that don't know. But at
right.
the same time, we got to get to the people that want to know, because there's some that don't know that don't want to know. And
mm-hmm.
and you'll spin your wheels trying to get folks to do stuff that really don't want to do it. Now, should they do it? Absolutely. And a lot of times, like you said, they don't see it until it happens to them or it hits their home. But that's a belief issue. That's a pride issue right there. And if the information is out there on their phone and they can go up and look all kinds of other stuff up, they can look up insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I want us to take responsibility and say, hey, we got the most powerful computers that we got today in our hands. Let's use it for stuff that we know we need to do.
Wow. Awesome. Well, Nelson, listen, in our last 30 seconds, please tell them how they can contact you. I love to make sure people always know how to reach our guests, because I bring on people who have a wealth of knowledge and a heart for ministry. So tell them how to reach you if they wanted to get in contact with you.
Thank you, sir. The easiest way is to hit me on my phone. My cell phone is 706-580-6342. You can also hit me up on email at nbaldwin, That's NBALDWIN at TCWFG.com.
Those Amen. Well, listen, thank you, my brother, for this engaging dialogue. I hope that people will see the need to continue in this type of conversation. And one of the things that I'm praying that God allows us to do, he mentioned this to me last year, about having a financial leadership conference. And so if you liked Brother Nelson, which you should have, even if you didn't appreciate everything he said, what he's saying was true, what I was saying was true, and it's designed to help you, not to hurt you. So I'm hoping that the thing works out like it's supposed to work out, and that whatever date we select for later on in the year, probably in October, that we'll have Brother Nelson Baldwin as part of our financial leadership conference, because we got to get leaders to stepping up and being where leaders are supposed to be. And you mentioned, Brother Baldwin, about the pride and the shame. And one of the scriptures that if anybody's taken anything with PRF, any of our lessons or courses, or at least multiple ones, you'll see that there's one scripture that comes up in every course, and it's Proverbs 11 and 2. And Proverbs 11 and 2 says, first comes pride, then comes shame, but with humility there is wisdom. And so we want people not to be prideful. We want people not to have shame. We want people to be humble so that God's wisdom can illuminate in their lives. And then we can do things like Exodus 18, especially as leaders. We can receive the wisdom that comes from God or whoever God sends. We can take it, and then we can use that wisdom to do those things that we need to do for the people, such as appointing others to help in these various areas that we know we're not equipped to be able to handle or that God has not called us to do. So with that, I say good afternoon to everybody, and make sure that you tune in on Friday. So Friday we have Kimberly Silas, who hosts Your Health is Your Wealth, this same channel, same network. Her show is on 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where she deals with how your health affects your wealth. So with that, God bless y'all. We'll talk to you soon. Brother Nelson, we'll talk later on in this week, brother. I'm going to try to get me some rest today.
Yes, sir. Get you some rest, man. We'll talk.
Yes, sir. All right, brother. God bless.